The title of today's talk, I think it is Virtual Reality. Who, what, are we without words? Who, what, are we without assumption around the meaning of words? Around the meaning of vision? Around the meaning of sound? Around the meaning of taste and touch? The five senses are what the body, mind, uses to explore what it thinks is the world, its world, the world. And what happens is that as we learn certain things, we get words attached to them, like a bell, or like sky, or car, or dog, or mama, or teacher, or we've attached description meanings to things that we see, we hear, we taste, we touch, and we think they're real. But they're real in meaning to us only because we have assumed meanings over them. How many different meanings are there to light, dark, hot, cold, in what context, under what situation, what is the temperature relative to, It's very, very complex, the concept of how the brain functions around vocabulary and experience, the interpretation or the assumption of what words mean. So, in some societies, one behavior is good. Another behavior is bad. But in another society, it could be the opposite. What is the meaning of big? How many interpretations are there of big? Big sky country, big animal, big flower, big train, big car, big person, big ant, big butterfly, big tree, big. Big is, it's a description that changes according to the history of how it's being applied and to what. So we're continually on a slide rule of interpretations. And those slide rule interpretations lead to a lot of trouble. A belief that we know what's going on when we don't know what's going on. A belief that something is beautiful when for someone else it's ugly. What is the, let's say, interpretation of family around the world and in every culture? What is the interpretation of family just, you know, in a square block radiance? What is beautiful? What is expensive? What is expensive for a billionaire, and what is expensive for a beggar? So, what is education? Education is different under different circumstances, and it's different for everybody who's using the term, but under different circumstances, it changes for every person. So, you're educated because you can speak. You're educated because you can read. You're educated because you've read this book or that book, or taken this course or that course, because you know how to cook, or you know how to build a house. You know, what constitutes being educated? It's so relative that we don't stop to think that the relativity of everything means that there's no constant. There's no consistent. And yet we merely go on thinking that we're normal, or that it's not normal, or it's... And we don't understand that we're living in a virtual reality called what we think and how we interpret things. It's a virtual reality. It's not real. So, what does the word God mean? And in what situations and under what, you know, how many different ways has the word God been used? You know, there are the gods of Egypt. There's the gods of, you know, the Hindu faith. There's gods of, you know, there's gods of every kind of religion. There's God. Some people think that because someone is beautiful, they're a goddess. Or because they're handsome and strong, they're a god. Now, this is confusing, but somehow or other, our minds make assumptions that make us say that's okay. That we're communicating, but we're not communicating, and that's okay. Because we've forgotten that we're not communicating, really. And so when we have problems that come up because of miscommunication that we can have to face, then we have a problem. Now, what is a problem? Let me see. Language is how we think. Do you know you have a hand if you can't think? Hand? Do you have an eye if you can't think eye? Can you see if you can't see? Helen Keller oftentimes used the word, you can see. I can see. I can see that this works. And you go, blind, can't see. And she was using the word, however, it meant to her that she was communicating something to sighted people. And sighted people are talking to her like, can't you see? In the sense of, don't you understand? So can't you see is understand, not see. But why is see associated with understand? It's a very perplexing thing to think about how humans learn and store information and use information and interact with information. So basically, it turns out that we're living in a virtual reality. It's not real in the sense that we can call things things. We can think about things in one way or another, but are they? And here we come to frequency. As long as we don't understand and keep clear that frequency changes everything. If you're on one frequency, it's one thing. If you're on another frequency, it's another thing. And our interpretations around things are sliding all over the place, and yet we manage to think we're doing something normal. It's interesting. When you stop and analyze what it is that's going on that isn't going on. What is a store? How many different ways can you use the word store? Store your coffee, store your beans, go to the store. What store? The clothing store, the grocery store. The iPad store, the electronics store, the hardware store. What is the store? The cover word store has many, many meanings. Human. How many interpretations is there to they're a human? Are they human? What is being human? So, is it a Neanderthal human? That's a Neanderthal. Well, what's a Neanderthal? Well, it's on the way to being a human. Okay, you know. We really are so complex in the way language interfaces with sensory data that we don't realize we are making assumptions about life on all levels. And it's really perplexing and confusing, and we make a semi-mess out of it and amazingly come through the rye to live maybe 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years with our confusion, all the while thinking we're not confused. Well, we're confused. And that confusion leads us to all kinds of assumptions, because we have to assume things because we can't know things for sure. Our friend Hafiz, I am like a heroin addict in my longing for a sublime state, for that ground of conscious nothing where the rose ever blooms. Oh, the friend has done me a great favor and has so thoroughly ruined my life. What else would you expect seeing God would do? Out of the ashes of this broken frame, there is a noble rising sun, S-O-N, pining for death. Because since we first met, beloved, I have become a foreigner to every world except that one in which there is only you or me. Now that the heart has held that which can never be touched, my subsistence is a blessed desolation, and from that I cry from loneliness, for more loneliness. I am lonely. I am so lonely, dear beloved, for the quintessence of loneliness. For what is more alone than God? Hafiz, what is more pure and alone, magnificently sovereign than God? The mime stands upon a gallows for a crime he did not do. When given a last chance to speak, he remains true to his art. A crowd of hundreds has gathered to see his last performance, knowing he will not talk. The mime takes from the sky the circles of bright spheres, lays them on a table, expressing deep love for the companionship and guidance they had given him for so many years. He brings the seas before your eyes, somehow a golden fin appears, splashes. Look, dear ones, there is a tortoise and brain. He becomes his heart from his body. I'm sorry, he removes his heart from his body and seems to arouse all life on this splendid earth with such a sacred tenderness. There is, for an extraordinary moment, it looked like someone was giving birth to Christ again. He mounts his soul upon the body of freedom. The great breeze comes by. The sun and the moon join hands. They bow so gracefully that for a moment, everyone knows that God is real. So the tongue fell out of the mouth of this world for days. Symbols, words, meanings, interpretations. That's about what we are. And so, letting ourselves relax instead of trying to assume. We assume. And the more often we assume, the further from the truth we usually are. So, slowing down and maybe hearing the words with our ears, but only interpreting them with our hearts. Is there pain in the words that sound normal? Is there joy in the words of silence? Are we going to visit the frequencies of joy in the middle of trauma? Or are we going to visit the trauma interpretation and feel the pain? In the same place at the same time, there is the spectrum of experience. Take your frequency, pick it. Know that picking the frequency changes the event, the place, the interpretation. If we don't monitor our choice of frequency, if we don't believe we have the power to change the interpretation, we are stuck in the awful. This is awful. This is awful. This is awful. But where we tear things down, are we going to build something up? To build something means to destroy something. If you want to build something with wood, you have to destroy a tree. the meantime, you've had to destroy some things to get the tools to cut the wood. We don't have the ability with our mind to encompass what appears to be reality, which is a dream. And so if we pick joy and relaxation and openness, and we realize that within now is a spectrum of opportunities. And if we don't want the sweetest opportunity, the most joyful, the most open opportunity, we get our closed trap mind, our closed trap anxiety interpretation of what next, what now, what's wrong. Are we looking for what's wrong, or are we looking for what's wonderful, amazing, joyous, possible, rather than impossible? We don't realize that our busy interpretations, our assumptions, are creating a virtual reality far below our potential. And what we're being invited by the path is to realize it's our choice of energy levels, frequencies, the frequency of joy, the frequency of love, the frequencies of open rather than contraction, that give us the option of feeling experientially attuned to spirit. So are we going to open the door to the spirit's frequency, or are we going to shut it with anxiety, tension, frustration, misinterpretation? What may look like a painful experience may be the end of a painful karma, which should be a moment of joy. The karma is paid. And so if you come down the road a piece from what looks like a disaster to somebody, you might hear them saying, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Yeah. The best thing that ever happened to me. It made me turn around and stop doing some idiotic things. If you ever interview a group of prisoners, it's interesting how some of them will invariably say, getting caught and put in prison was the best thing that ever happened to me. It showed me how out of control I was in what I was doing and thinking I had a right to do. So here we are. We actually have no idea that we're wandering through a virtual reality. Doesn't exist except in our minds. What is just in your mind? And what is beyond your mind on another frequency? So if we say that the soul leaves the body and the body stops functioning, and it's a better place that the soul is going to, why don't we create a better place in the body for the soul to interface? We're waiting to leave the body to interface with a better place. So, because we don't believe we have a soul really, our mind does not believe we have a soul. It can't go there because its virtue reality doesn't include the immensity of frequency of soul. And so if we don't quiet the frequency of mind, the frequency of soul gets short-circuited against a barrier of a frequency of negation of its existence. And we don't know that we do it. We're doing it day in and day out. We're barring access to the frequency of spirit in the body. And that's what the whole concept of the Path of the Masters is about, is coming to terms with the fact if we don't open, and realize that what we think is real isn't. And what is real is on another frequency that we need to open gradually to create a frequency of harmonic openness that the soul can communicate to us in a meaningful way to our conscious awareness. It doesn't mean that the soul isn't there. It just means we're out of touch. We, in the brain, body, are out of touch with the frequency that soul can communicate to us in a meaningful way. Doesn't mean soul isn't there. Doesn't mean it's not running the show. It means like I'm just making up stories over what's going on. I'm making up stories of why I do things and where I do them and how I do them, you know? Scratching my nose. I am scratching my nose. My soul is scratching my nose. And I am interpreting that my ego, biological mind, body is scratching my nose. Maybe soul is making a point. So we are really puppets that think we are cognitive, that we're meaningful as a puppet as opposed to a soul animating a puppet. Well, we're never in touch with the soul, so it's up for grabs. We might as well pretend we're in charge, egotistically, mentally, biologically. So, enlightenment means get over yourself. Get over your assumptions. Get humble enough to be empty of inappropriate assumptions. conditioning, addictions, habituations, needy, wanty, body, mind, and ego. So, slowly, slowly, what's happening is that the masters have come over periods of time, and they keep saying basically the same things. Relax and stop being judgmental and stop thinking that you can go on making judgments about things that aren't going to reverberate back on you, as opposed to opening and relaxing and being guided by another frequency. We don't trust letting go to God. And the whole path is about letting go to soul and God, and realizing we're just putzing around in a virtual reality that will, because we're in a dualistic world, come to an end, and the soul will leave the body, and you know, you can cremate it, you can use it as a doorstop, whatever. But you won't be in the body. Your body idea of you is going bye-bye. Your ego is going to go bye-bye. And it's trying very hard to prevent you from knowing that. It wants to go on being in charge rather than letting the reins go to the divine. It's a bad choice in the sense that it's stupid. It's stupid in the sense that it's unwilling to be educated, unwilling to let go and experience the divine and trust it over and over and over, just like we made assumptions over and over and over again and developed patterns of believing our assumptions. Well, it's very, let's say, challenging. It's the last great thing you do before you awaken to the spirit. It's waking up from the dream and forgiving the dream. You know, Master used to talk about when you have dirty clothes and you take them to the river or to the pool or wherever you're going to wash the clothes, that you immerse them in the water, and then what you do is you beat the clothes until the dirt separates from the fabric. And when we think about it, we wonder why sometimes life is difficult and we're mad. But is it not having the dirt knocked out of you. If it takes an accident or a loss of a limb or a very tough disease or very hard work, is that not maybe just getting the dirty laundry cleaner? To create humility. And arrogance really doesn't work in front of God. No. The idea that you can be arrogant in front of God is kind of pathetic. So, when you wash things, you take a brush and you scrub. Or if you're taking clothes to the river to wash, you're going to beat them on a rock. To get the dirt dislodged. The dirt of illusion dislodged. You're in charge. Oh, really? Well, just watch this. Okay. You see? So it might be helpful to remember that from time to time, that when things seem difficult, maybe you're just being given the gift of a washing, dislodging some dirt part of your consciousness, some aspect of misunderstanding, that you're okay while you're not. It's okay that I eat 10 Hershey bars a night. It's okay if I smoke 400 cigarettes a day. It's okay if I, you know. What was that cancer you got from smoking all those cigarettes? Oh, yeah. See? I had an office one time in Ogden where my office was towards the back of a building, and there was a jewelry store at the front. And the man who owned the jewelry store smoked nonstop, chain cigarette butt to new cigarette, and nonstop chain smoking. And he got lung cancer, and he had a long and torturous death. His son took over his business, and as he was coming by, he was smoking. I went out in the hall and I said, "Honey, I thought you knew your father died of cancer of the lungs from smoking. Why are you smoking?" His answer was, "Well, you gotta die of something." So his father's lesson wasn't enough at the moment. At the moment. Maybe he could have had a good scare and it might scare him into stopping smoking, but he was dedicated to smoking in face of the fact that his father had a miserable death from smoking. Well, it really wasn't from smoking, it was from choosing to smoke. It was from choosing to smoke. He was addicted to smoking. We are addicted to bypassing relaxation and attunement to spirit. We are addicted to be tense. We're addicted. So we have to be really clear that if we're wanting to be in touch with spirit, tension, hurry and worry are things that have got to go. We need frequencies of openness. Where do they come from? Open comes from what? Open-hearted, relaxed, expanded, not contracted. Okay, So we're living in a virtual reality of illusions, really. Just assumptions that are completely wrong. But we won't give them up, even though we know if we study them carefully, they're inappropriate. What you see isn't what you see, but what you think you see. What you hear isn't what you hear, it's what you think you hear. What you think a word means at any given time is an assumption. You're assuming you know. But is it the right interpretation? Is it the right assumption? If your eye only sees pinpoints, it doesn't see lines. A stop sign by your eyes going into your brain really are just pinpoints, and your mind makes it a stop sign. Draws in the idea of the lines. Going to a restaurant. An expensive restaurant means good food, right? That's an assumption. That a sunny day is going to make you feel good rather than burn your skin and give you cancer. That's an assumption. There we are. Assumption, assumption, assumption. So here we are. You've heard so many things about what the path of the masters is about, and it's going somewhere. But what part of it are you going to use consistently until there's breakthrough? A change of pattern. A change of misassumptions. A change of letting go of what seems normal. Well, everybody does it. Isn't that the anthem of tiny children? Everybody does it, Mother. Okay. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So everybody does it. If I have a collection of people who do something, then I should do it? You mean, if soldiers are out there killing people, I should go do it? Well, everybody's doing it in the battlefield, okay. Is it okay in the battlefield, but it's not okay in town? No, it's that, you see. There are a lot of mean people out there. Okay, be mean. Yes. The assumption that something is okay when it's not will bring out the laundress who's going to beat you on the rocks. take the dirt out of your assumptions. That's called God power, master power, spirit. Is going to beat you up if you don't finally give it up and become humble enough to listen to your soul. Create the frequency of openness to the soul. That's the path. It's called a science. The science is shut up. It's pretty simplistic. Shut up, be still, and be joyful. Oh, okay. That sounds okay for 2 seconds. Well, onward and onward. The laundry must be done.